latest show, starring Kenty and Jose. Hi, kids. I'm on the road going to Philadelphia. And I was on 195, and I was in Providence, Rhode Island. And I kept on driving, and I thought, you know, I was on 195, and I come to this sign saying Fall River. I'm thinking, I didn't know there was a Fall River in Rhode Island. And it says Taunton. I'm like, I didn't know there was a Taunton in Rhode Island, because I know there's a Taunton and a Fall River right next to each other in Massachusetts. Here we go. Hold on. I don't want to miss it. West. I have to go west here. Let's see. I want to go... That's east. I don't want to go east. I want to go west. Anyway, so I am on one... So I look at the signs. I'm like, I'm on 195. I'm thinking, oh, this is probably just something that's like parallel to I-95. Well, it isn't. And so I ended up 40 miles away from Rhode Island. I mean, from where I have to be. It's awful. So I just stopped off in Dartmouth to get some gasoline. I had to pee like a racehorse. I didn't even realize I had to pee, but I did. My wires away here. So I just wanted to say that because I thought it was funny. Yep, hi. And here we have Anthony. Anthony, what do you think about me? So this is what you think of podcasting and the future of social media? What do you think about Web 2.0? How about Madge Weinstein? Everybody's a critic. Okay, Eddie. Can you tell? Welcome. I'm gonna welcome Eddie on the show. Can you tell me where I'm at right now? Where we're broadcasting live from?
Pennsylvania.
That's correct. We're in Pennsylvania. Okay. And how old are you?
8 1/4.
8 1/4. And who are you?
A boy.
You're a boy, but you're my nephew, right?
Yes.
Correct. Right. And what are you gonna be doing tonight?
Making pizza.
Making pizza from scratch with Chef Boyardee. The latest show is brought to you by Chef Boyardee Cheese Pizza Kit. What do you think about cheese pizza? I think he has lactose intolerance.
Some kind of intolerance.
Yeah, some kind of intolerance.
He's a one-word... Answer one more name.
Okay, so this little segment is going to... We're going to end it. So we're going to take this and record Sean.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's so...
Always through the changing of sun and shadow, time and space, I will walk beside my love. In a green and quiet place, proof against the forms of fear, no distress shall alter me. I will walk beside my dear, clad in love's bright heraldry. Sound the bell. battle's loud alarms. Any foe I shall withstand. In the circle of his arms, I am safe in Beulah land. Passion fades when joy is spent. Lust is lore for gold and crimes. Beauty's kiss is transient. Love alone is fixed in time. Death cannot divide my love. All we sealed with living vows. Warm I'll sleep beside my love. In a cold and narrow house, never shall the mourning dove weep for us in accents wild. I shall walk beside my love, who is husband, father, child. As our earthly eyes grow dim, still the old song will be sung. I shall change along with him, so that both are ever young, ever young.
Okay.
Oh, I can't. This can't be recorded.
Well, I'm going to get rid of the names. I just want the details.
The details?
I want to know what happened. I want the story.
No, the story. You know, tonight at the reunion, you can extract that bit of glorious information from the one who saw it all happen occur directly.
Oh, you mean Carol Kendall?
No.
I mean Kay?
Yeah, the Kay. And the other Kay, whose name we won't mention for those who have pen and paper.
Oh, that's Kay.
They can, the information that you're seeking can be revealed.
I meant the Kendall.
This is hearsay. You can actually get it right from the source tonight. And it will scatter and blister for your listeners. They will love it.
Michelle Maskelko graduate our year or the year after? Or before us?
I don't know. Since you're from Boston, when you talk about witches and witchcraft,
right?
She probably has a coven up by you.
She does.
Chaos. See? That's witchcraft.
Can we park here?
We can. We can park them all. This would be your first outside taped in the actual crime.
Right. This is the Haunted Woods. And I'll make sure to get rid of all references to Kendall and Crom and Miss Maskelko. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah.
Possibility.
Right.
I'm so proud of that box.
What was the box for?
Before we had power, we had generators. That's the box that allows us to light the woods without the generators.
You mean, when did they put that in?
It was our fourth or fifth year.
And they put it in for us?
For us. That's exclusively because of our sort.
Really?
This woods is a natural, park. But because we were doing so many fundraising events, they installed that power supply. Right
wow.
There. That has outlets in it.
Hold on.
The Boy Scouts tried to do it after us.
And it didn't work. Jesus Christ!
Put your penis back in. doing?
I'm trying to get my zipper.
I know, no. Let me get off my knees.
Yeah.
So dirty.
Dirty. Okay, we're recording here. This is Sean Bracken.
Oh, let me, amigos.
Hold on, let me stop it and start again so I can... Because that first part is full of... Hi. Ooh. Hi, Flay the Show listeners. This is Kenty. I just heard a weird noise.
Yeah.
And, I'm here at the Vardisorg Haunted Woods with Sean. And he's one of my best... He's my best friend in high school.
Thanks, Sean.
My pleasure, Ken. We're back here at the proverbial scene of the crime where Ken and I did a fundraising for a local nature center.
Right.
Which has its roots back in an interesting story.
Right.
On Edge Hill Road in Abington, where my girlfriend, ironically now that I'm a gay man, but my girlfriend at the time in high school, who was actually her house, is a three-story, what we call Victorian mansion. Erected in the late 1700s, early 1800s?
Something like that. I think it was 1800.
The house itself has an interesting history. It was, they say, an underground church during World War I or II, or possibly both. And that interesting story is recorded in a... history of haunted places in Bucks County.
An underground church?
Her house is that whole, the haunting of this house, said haunting, has been documented in a book that a ghostwriter in the local ghostwriter put together and compiled. So the story and history of that house is, for your readers or listeners, is available.
Uh-huh.
A separate story.
We'll have to put that on our Amazon wish list here.
Yes. But it's interesting. I mean, if you're in Pennsylvania and you want to do the haunted houses tour, the houses that are noteworthy, this house appears and has its own unique history. And it's still there directly across, from a school.
Right.
But it's one of the oldest houses or existing houses in the Montgomery County.
And that school would be the Highland Elementary School.
Right. It's actually directly across. It's 1318 right. Edge Hill Road. We've walked too far.
Now we go up here.
That's up to the top of the hill, but now we go too far.
Now we go this thing right here.
We are walking as we're talking.
Yeah.
But
we're taking the old path.
Well, the point of the story, this could go on for hours if we don't truncate it soon, but...
That's okay.
The house has said history, and the history of the house, it's interesting to start off with knowing that I didn't know all this.
Yeah.
When I was dating my girlfriend. It came to us through her mother, who had bought the house.
And who was the ghost that was there? Katie?
That's the name. Katie Morin.
Yeah.
Is the name of the ghost that inhabited the house. And this comes to us through... we have to come back. Through Lynn.
Oh, go down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to stop. We're going to get in the car and talk.
Well, we'll walk. Here, let's get out here.
Careful.
Okay, so we're at the Edge Hill Road house.
Well, we're at the Edge Hill Road house, and I've been dating for a couple of years, and you and I were doing music theater. We've done a couple of plays. We had done Grease, and we had done Kismet.
Right.
And we had a network of friends.
We were the Royal Rug Rollers.
Yeah, it's one of our better roles.
That's right.
And Kismet, we got to be chorus, and we got to roll the king's rug.
Right.
And we were in Grease, and our town, which is more...
Oh, yeah. More Simon Stimson.
Where we play dead characters.
Right.
Got us into that, along with our own,
I was Howie Newsom.
Yes.
I was still alive at the end of the... I outlived them all.
Yeah, I was the drunk, so that worked out. Oops, yeah. That worked out well.
Do you think that was typecasting?
What's that?
Was that typecasting?
Yeah, it was typecasting. But then, I'm surprised you had us audition.
Right. So we were at the...
Well, the theater connection comes in is that we'd already gotten involved in a little bit of stage crew and production and...
Right.
It's your 11th grade, and we
wanted to do a haunted house.
Well, yeah. Yes, I don't know how
part of
it. I think it was you and I that came up with the idea.
We did. We were going to do it at your house.
We were going to do it at my mom's
Remember?
House.
We're going to have like four rooms or whatever.
We wanted to haunt my mother's house. And
then we went to the church, the Abington Presbyterian Church.
That's right. And we wanted to do it there, but they wouldn't let us. And one thing leading to another, Kendall's mother let us do it in her house.
Right.
Because they said, we were in the living room and saying, wouldn't it be, we had Kendall, you and me and our mother, wouldn't it be great if we could haunt an actual haunted house?
Right.
And they were just going to, it started off, we're just going to do the living room and have people come in and we'll pop out behind whatever. Right.
And also, Kendall's mother wanted to make money selling cocoa.
Right, right. Well, there was, yeah, I think.
And we raised money for Music Theater of Abington.
Music Theater of Abington and the World Hunger Field.
That's
the
right.
The money went the first 2 years.
Right. Right.
So, to make a long story, the end of the story is that we did 7 years on, 2 years in the house, and then 5 years in the woods, and we're walking through the woods now.
Yeah, right. The paths are gone, by the way.
You weren't walking on them.
Yeah.
You should have let me lead.
No, sorry. You okay? Let's sit down on the bench. Okay.
So this is getting very boring for us.
No, it's not. They love this. Let's go sit down and finish up the story. Because this is a really scary story.
Right? It is pretty scary. Boy, it's scary. Scary. It's told through the time from the town as it occurred. And let the leaders judge. The readers and listeners judge to what happened.
Just sit down.
Okay. I'm going to stand. My knees are all messed up.
Why?
I don't know. Aches and bones as you get older. So, we had haunted the house where we were making our plans. Making our plans to haunt Kendall's house and come up with a design. It was one of those nights that I think we were having a dress rehearsal.
Right.
And there was, you know, I was going to school for journalism. When did my first
We're both day? Going to Temple.
Temple. So I guess it's actually out of high school.
Yeah, we were out of high school. Your first year of college.
First year of college. So I'm going to school for journalism and marketing. I don't know how these people found out, but we had a cast of probably, we'd like to say 50, you know, hindsight. Maybe it was 30 to 50.
Yeah, 30 to 50.
People. I actually have their names.
But they did all sorts of things. They weren't always in the doing the acting. They were doing other things behind
the
scenes.
It was you and me and Kendall and our friends combined with the forces of the Music Theater of Abington.
Right, high school kids who got involved.
High school kids, our college friends, and because we were doing music theater at the local.
Right.
You know, Music Theater of Abington, we had theater connections, and there were adults that, you know what, could you help us out? And it wouldn't take much to get these music people to throw a costume on for charity.
Right.
And that's how we got to get this big group of people who are theatrically minded that we're going to do live interactive theater in a Halloween style in an actual haunted house.
Right.
So the word's getting out. And, you know, and in that list and group of people, there were several interesting characters that, yeah, you and I got the pleasure of knowing.
One, a vampire.
The one first person is said vampire, Sheila, who comes.
Remember the first time we met Sheila? And we had to apply white makeup to her armpits and take her down to the tryout for Elvira?
Right. Yeah, Sheila was one of these. I don't know who knew Sheila, whether she was doing makeup at the music theater, but she came into our lives because she had always played vampires.
Right.
You know, I don't know how she could. She wanted to.
She had teeth made up for herself.
Yes,
too.
She was serious. Caps. Seriously into it. Where she had her. Now with high. You know, now in the year 2009, people. You know, vampires are hit. You have True Blood and.
Right.
That's that big. But back in 1983.
Right.
There weren't very many girls walking around with pre-made vampire fangs and ready to pop them in your mouth and scare upon demand.
Right, and tell you that she has to eat blood.
Well,
to survive.
She took it to a hole. You know, back then we're like, oh, you're a vampire.
Yeah.
You know, and this, you know. She was an eccentric, and she not only did she believe she was a vampire, but she would be glad she carried around her purse, and she had tarot cards.
Right.
She's a mystic woman, and she's, you know, working for the forces of light and darkness, and she comes with a whole bag of tricks.
Right. Yep. So Sheila was part of the Haunted Woods, and who else?
Katie?
No, what was her name?
The other woman, the other psychic lady.
Lynn Ross.
Lynn Ross.
I think it was Lynn Ross.
Yeah, I think so. Lynn.
This is...
Lynn for sure.
Lynn for sure. Lynn is Kendall's mother's friend,
yeah.
who is purportedly a real psychic.
Right.
Whereas Sheila is our friend with the... our vampire friend.
Uh-huh.
Lynn is a legitimate, has been doing psychic readings, but not charging.
Right.
And
she didn't do it as a career.
As a career. But she was one of the people instrumental in researching the house and relaying to
Mrs. Hunsaker.
Mrs. Hunsaker, the owner of the house, who was quote-unquote haunting the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And given helped us get the history that her impression was that it was Katie Morey, the German...
She lived in the house before the Hunsakers bought it. She died there.
Right. And she was haunting it. And it was a benevolent, but... benevolent spirit that was in the house and in basically protecting the house.
Right.
And her spirit was still in there. So that's this, you know, that's the name of the entity that was living in people. And Lynn would communicate to us impressionable teenagers that this spirit was the force behind the house. So when drafts are blowing and things are being knocked over, that's Katie. And that's the haunting.
Right.
So.
When you hear the bloody scream, that was Katie.
But the bloody screen. The scary.
So what happened now? We were doing our thing. Let's get on with the story.
Okay.
So we have Sue. Also Sue. Remember Sue? She's a character.
Sue Doherty. She's the
Music Theater of Abington.
She's the I guess she's the director of the Music Theater of Abington. She's the one in charge of.
She was backstage. She was a stage
props director.
Props and stuff. Yeah.
Helping us with set design and stuff like
yeah.
that.
And Mrs.
Her and Lynn are good friends.
Right.
These are the older people in the cast. You have people who are in their 30s and 40s, right. and us who are, I guess, we're 21 and 22.
Right. We were at the house getting it ready, and they were at the Highland Inn having a cocktail. They were at the Highland Inn. So, well, we're doing our stuff. Who shows up at
Well, we're in the front yard, and remember the front yard.
Putting up tombstones and
stuff. We were putting tombstones and putting the lighting outside the house so we could light it up, and we had sound effects, so we're going off the music and raking the leaves and so forth and so on. When, remember, it's important to note that surrounding the perimeter of the house is a 4-foot stone wall
right.
that's been there for.
And wrought iron entranceways.
Right, right. So it. Serves as a natural barrier around the house and property,
mm-hmm.
Separating the house from the street. And in front of this stone, 4-foot stone perimeter wall that goes surrounds the property, as you said, there's iron entranceway, the main gate of the house. And in front of that, like a brickish sidewalk in front of that. And anyway, we're raking leaves out front, and I guess we call them people our age,
right.
college kids.
They were
or
yeah,
younger than
young,
college
a little
kids.
Younger than us, actually.
Two younger college
high
kids.
School.
Probably younger.
High school, yeah.
Maybe high school, wearing black. I distinctly remember them both kind of being wearing black, all black, coming towards us, come up to the gate. And the gate was closed, and I don't know who was the first person to talk to them.
I was inside the house, I think, at this time.
There was someone who brought me over or brought either Murray or Kendall over and said that they wanted to join the Haunted
right.
Woods.
Right. Somehow, that's what that we found out they wanted.
They wanted to come join the, I thought, to join as a volunteers to
right.
dress up. And, you know, we had, I think through the church that we were networking with or through the music theater, we were having volunteers show up who wanted to get dressed up and help with the fundraising. And these two, you must have saw, you know, the tombstones going up and they're walking by at the front of the house and they come by with their own unique and quite frightening, very scary story that would alter a lot of people's lives with a very supernatural occurrence. But, you know, it was important to say how they came to be. None of us knew them.
Right.
So it wasn't like this was set up or planned. So they come up to the gate, and they were telling a story, the way I remember it, about not so much volunteering, but they heard the place was haunted, and did we know anything about it? And what do we know about the ghost? And they've been drawn to the place. And, you know, we're very interested in this story, not only from the that we're trying to haunt it, but it, that it's really haunted. They were coming with an additional ghost story. And now they have a ghost.
They said, do you really want a haunted house?
Something like that. But they were more, the one guy had a dark spirit with him.
Right, following that, him
that was
night.
Following him.
Right.
Which is interesting because one of our friends, Murray, had, before we met these people, was impressionable, and she considered herself an empath. Mary
right.
always considered herself an empath, and she had told us stories of how she felt like she was being followed by demons. Like, she'd be walking through a dark field,
right.
and she was always highly scared of having, like, people. She felt like there were people behind her at all time.
Right.
And I had never felt that before, but Murray was sensitive to that.
Right.
And so Murray was the empath in our group, if we had one. And I think you and I tend to be the more scientific slash rational rational people, but was fun to be amongst this group of eccentrics.
Right.
You know, not knowing that we're eccentric ourselves
right.
in the whole process.
Fudge packets.
Yes. Yeah. So, well. So.
Pepperidge Farm, remember?
They go on and get more and more involved in their story, which is, you know, how often do you have two people walking up to you talking about they're having an evil spirit following them? It went from being benign to it's a dark spirit, and it passes from father to son. There was a whole etymology of this ghost that was following this guy.
Since it's a grandfather from Italy.
From Italy. And it's and it was,
and claimed to be the devil.
Right. It was a trench-coated, dark, not trench-coated, but robed figure that had a hat or a fedora.
Right, a hat.
A hat.
A fedora hat, yeah.
And
it followed them.
It would follow them. And it was a dark spirit, and it was coming over from Italy, and the kid didn't want that. Everybody in the family had more, someone had had something horrible happen to them.
Right.
And this kid wanted to have the ghost removed.
Right.
And somehow or another, kid finds out from his friends that we have a psychic amongst us.
Right.
Who can help them with their problem. And
right.
whether that be Sheila or that was Lynn, I don't know. But I said I'd be glad to introduce them. Probably the first mistake.
Right.
Because if you have a ghost, this is the person who might be able to help you or tell you what to do. That's, you know, you have on my casting crew, this is my psychic and this is my this is my ghost person. I'll be glad to introduce you.
The vampire.
And they're like, well, we can't come in unless you invite us. Now that sounds spooky, but
yeah.
Okay, let me open the gate for you. You could come in.
Yeah.
So.
Then they couldn't come into the house. So you invited them into the house.
Yeah. That was a whole other thing.
Because you came into the house and they stayed at the door.
They stayed at the door. Well, I invited them into the yard, which is probably the first mistake. But I think that this happened not the first introduction.
Or did they even ever get into the house?
I think they came in and sat on the couch and told Sheila the story.
Sheila wasn't there. She was at the in-flight.
There was a story being told.
We went into the back. I know what we did. We went into that back.
The sunroom.
The sunroom. It was you and Mary and Kendall and I. And then Mary said to you, I have to talk to you. And then you guys went into the kitchen. And I heard this blood-curdling scream.
Right. But before we got
but
to that
Sheila
event,
wasn't
was,
there.
Was it that they were here one day or 2 days
just
before
once.
They met? It was just all this. Because I think they come one day and they came back the next day.
Yep. Nope.
Was it a progressive event?
Nope.
Because that's too dramatic and too scary for one night.
It happened in one night.
Because we never saw these people again.
We never saw them again.
And all that chaos and mayhem, the story that you're about to hear is distinctly unbelievable.
Right.
So
it all happened in one night. It did not happen over time. And Sheila wasn't there. She came later. She was in flight.
Well, so they got invited in, and I remember them telling us a story, and the cold breeze going throughout the house, or the cold feeling of people.
It's true.
The second telling, now that they had told me their brief story out front, they're now telling
the full story
to
I was there,
Murray and Kendall. Now they're telling the full story again.
Right.
And I guess, like you said, Murray starts to.
She calls you. She goes, I have to talk to you in the kitchen.
Right, and there's another whole situation with this picture. It's a coalescing of different things that are going on at the house. Now, this picture that was in my possession.
Okay, let's have some backstory about this evil clown.
This evil clown picture was knitted for, came into my possession by my mother's friend, Aunt Dolores, who got it from her mother, which
from
was
Baha'i.
She's the Baha'i faith.
Right.
But it was hand knitted.
Yeah, it was like, it's like crocheted or something.
A clown picture, which we have a picture of somewhere. But it's one of these. It's a picture of a knitted clown picture, which is meant for a child's room, but unfortunately the clown's face had a smile made out of black.
Yeah.
It was a black smile, which is supposed to be like clown makeup at the time, but
right.
Black, and it had red hair that looked like flames, and it was holding blocks. So both of his hands
around
were outstretched.
The thing.
They had blocks that were going out, but both his hands are held out, and because it was a handmade knitting thing, whoever made it tried to make it look clown-like, but it ended up appearing very demonic-looking clown.
Can I say something? When I first met Sean, he had this hanging in his bedroom, and he had every religious medallion pinned to it.
Yes. I don't know why, but I always, on this crochet clown knitting that was given to me.
Embroidery.
It was made, and I had it on my bedroom wall because it was a big, pretty big piece. What was it?
It was like 12 by 18.
It's a big.
It was big. It was 15 by 18.
It was a... I don't know, but my mother prized it, and she had given it to me. It was in the room, and I don't know why I had it there, but I had put, I remember.
Was it given to you? Was it your gift?
Yeah, I don't know. It was in the room, bro. It was in that family
for
a while. But everybody who saw it said that picture's creepy. And everybody always said it. And I always say, yeah, that's my demonic clown picture. And I kept it in my room because it was Gags and Merriment, but after seeing The Omen and The Exorcist and all that, I would put my religious symbols on it. I would have the thing that you wear around your neck, the scapula, had that on there, and the various Catholic pins that I would gotten, all my saint medals, were posted on each of the blocks and on the clown itself in my room. So when it came time for the Haunted Woods, I knew that I had to decorate. You know, we have a whole house to decorate, so I'm going to
volunteer.
I had to bring this over to it.
Right.
And my mom was like, I want to get that back, because that's been around. That's said to be, you know, that was knitted by grandmom's grandmom's grandmom, and everybody in the house knew it was an evil picture.
Right.
So I didn't mind keeping it, because I wasn't afraid of it, but it was evil for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it was evil. I was containing it with its evil inside.
It was evil embroidered.
It was absolutely had its own backstory, whatever this picture was. So Evil Said Clown Picture had its, I guess, seals broken, because I took all the Catholic stuff off of it for the haunting and brought it over to Kendall's kitchen and threw it in the stairway. In the back stairway in the kitchen.
People would come down through there and see it.
Right. So the part you have the haunted kitchen where you have the witch's broom, the thing, and there's a stairway that comes down into the haunted kitchen. As you're coming down the stairway, before you make your left into the kitchen, there's your evil clown picture just to say, oh my God, this is everything's not right around here.
Right.
They've got evil children's clown pictures, and there's an evil kitchen lady. You know what's going on. So that was the point behind the clown picture.
So Mary takes you into the kitchen.
Right. Well, she's...
Has all these exposed windows to this dark, wooded yard.
Right. They all...
Tall windows, like 6-foot windows.
They're windows that can't be... Not modern windows.
No.
They're like church windows.
You're right. They're like church windows. You can't
cover
them. Real thin curtains.
The sun porch where they're sitting in the main living room, and Murray takes me back to the kitchen to talk to me that she's picked up on the evil vibe, and there's something not right about these people, and there's, you know, it's horrible. And the scream that comes from the kitchen is the result of she's looking at the clown picture, which is bleeding from its eyes. We're looking at the clown picture, and the impression is that there's blood dripping down from its eyes. And Mary is scared to death and starts running from the kitchen.
To the front door.
No, she starts off from being a normal person to tears and screaming and crying in a matter of minutes.
We all get up and we go to the living room and I see Mary running towards the front door, where she then suddenly stops as if somebody is holding her back.
Right. The front door is wide open.
Because
it was one of those nights where we had the heater off and people were raking out front.
Right.
She's running out from the kitchen, down the hallway, to the main, to get out of the house, where anybody seeing her sees her immediately like she's sliding into a glass wall.
Right.
But there's no glass wall.
It was like she was held, like somebody grabbed her around the
waist. And, like, bumping up against the wall a couple of times. Like, she kept trying to leave, and then people run up to her. What's the matter? What's the matter?
Right.
Tears are running down her face, and in the kitchen, or something like that. You've got to get it out. And the evil, these people are evil. I think now the attention is that their ghost is here.
So we finally get Mary out into the front yard, and who drives up?
Well,
your brother.
my brother, and then also
and then they, Lynn. After we get rid of Murray,
all
the guys come back from the in-flight, and what does Lynn tell us?
Lynn says that she had, that Katie had contacted her.
Knocked her on her shoulder.
Knocked her on her shoulder and told her to come home. There was something wrong at the house.
Right.
So now the real psychic woman, I mean, seconds after right. Murray has leaving, we get her out the house. I think it was my brother comes up, and we get her out of here.
Yeah.
And then up pulls, my brother pulls up. We put Murray into my brother's car. She gets taken away. She's crying. And he's trying to calm her down. Not even a minute later, up pulls the psychic woman, just like Ghost Hunters.
Right.
But she's saying that...
Screaming down the gravel.
What's going on?
What's going on? Katie knocked us on the shoulder and said,
no one had
on.
Called her. We didn't even know where they were.
We didn't have cell phones.
We didn't have their number. We didn't know where they were. But they're coming on their own
balloon. Well, they were in flight, but we couldn't contact them.
I didn't know they were in flight.
Yeah, I did.
Well, I'm glad you did. Now I find out 25 years later you knew. I didn't know. Anyway, so they come up. And without us communicating to them, they knew that something. And Katie, good, benevolent ghost of the house, has informed her that there is some evil afoot, and it's around. And we explained to her that Murray had saw the clown picture, and there's blood coming down from its eyes, or how haunted it is. And they have to remove the spirit.
Right.
And then
there's not just one spirit.
No, now that evil has been unleashed, you know, the evil clown spirit combined with these devil people,
right.
who brought their spirit, and they wanted their evil. Turns out the guy said to us they wanted their spirit to talk to Katie,
right?
Something like that.
Something they wanted to unleash their spirit on our house. They wanted to get rid of it. They wanted to dump it on us.
They wanted to keep it where it was contained, or I don't know what the point of how they got that.
It was giving it like a puppy away to a home. You know, I was like, get rid of our ghost, so it doesn't follow me for the rest of my life.
The interesting part for the listeners is that we find out why did Murray bump up against the glass. Lynn tells us that it was Katie trying to protect her from going outside.
Right, because that's where all the evil was.
That's where the evil was not able to come into the house.
Right.
Because we had invited into the yard.
Six evil spirits.
Something like that. The number is not so horrifying as actually what happens.
Right.
So, the
wind starts blowing.
Well, they go into the house, and Sue Doherty, after telling her she's going to get rid of the clown picture, this is the first order of business.
Right.
Because we're saying, she saw the clown picture, you got to come look at it. And everybody knew that the clown picture was bad to begin with. Everybody was worked up about it. No one. That's why we kept it in the hallway in the kitchen. This thing was so evil, no one of us wanted to look at it.
Yeah.
They have to understand that wasn't by accident.
I think Mrs. Hunter covered it up, too.
Everybody didn't like this picture. That's why it was down the stairway. It was so evil that we had to put it somewhere. It was no one, you know, not even directly lit. Like, this is such a prized picture that you would have it at the front door.
Right.
But this bad boy's being hung up in the back. So Sue Doherty says, I'm going to get the picture. Get the picture. We must dispose of it. We've got to dispose of the evil picture, the thing. So she goes to the kitchen and grabs a picture and takes it away, and she's not going to tell us where it went. So
she never did.
She took the picture and disposed it. Took it right out the house, jumped to her car like a supernatural hero, grabs evil sit on it, and took it away and disposed of the picture on her own. That picture must go. Now, meantime, Lynn is in the house telling us that Sheila and Lynn are together, right?
Right.
Now, Sheila's here.
Sheila has her medallions.
It's time for an exorcism. And they have to remove the evil spirits that are around the house. And now my heart is racing at this point. Pounding. I'm by myself. Murray's gone with tears running down her face. One of my friends is out there. Where are you at?
I'm in the house taking care of all the younger people, trying to keep them involved so they don't get in your way.
So...
Oh, well, okay, after we came home, right?
Right.
This is what happened to me. This is before they exorcised the demons in the yard. I forgot about this. One of the guys, he's drunk, he's somebody's brother. I think he's Sue's brother. And he came, he's like, so what's going on? How's the backyard? And can you show me what we did in the backyard? I'm like, whatever. Right. So I went into the backyard, and I was like, come on, let's go. It felt bad. It felt evil. But I didn't see what you saw, but I felt evil.
What we saw was another thing that left me, after this night,
I went home and did not sleep that night, and not sleep the night after, or for weeks.
Right.
My parents wanted me to go see a doctor because I couldn't sleep for a long time. I had this, when I did sleep, I had to sleep with my bedroom light on, the bathroom light on. I couldn't have any darkness around me because I was literally terrified from
what happened.
What had happened over the course of the whole night. And I was, you know, impressionable, but when you see something with your own eyes, it's different than someone listening to a story.
Right.
When it happens to you directly, and then you have, you know, you can't sleep because you're processing. I could not sleep at night because every time the light went off, I was aware that there are actual spirits and beings out there. Right. I thought ghosts are cool and novelty, but to experience something this evil in person. So anyway, I'm not the psychic one.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's open to what's going on. But I'm not the empath or the psychic and won the tarot card. So they say they would like me to come with them for the exorcism.
Yeah.
And where is the evil? And I guess she feels, Lynn, or she'll identify the evil as being outside the house.
Right.
And Katie, and now the psychic ladies are in charge. The evil's outside and has to be exorcised. First they got rid of the picture that was inside the house. Now the evil's not inside the house. Katie can protect the house.
Right.
The house is fine, but now we have to get it off the property.
Right.
Right. So the door, I guess the house gets sealed and we go outside to get rid of the evil. So around the side of the house we go to where we had the... what do we call
the
leaf? We call the leaf.
The leaf people.
We called our character names for the side. You come in the front door, and it's everybody's birthday.
It was like
the storyline. It's a happy birthday. It's the undead birthday. Happy birthday.
Right.
And we take them for a tour. Everybody enters from the back wine cellar.
Right.
But you come in, you go to the left, you get read by your tour guide through our first scare. Our first scare is you're walking along the side of the house, and they're telling you, happy birthday. Like, why are you saying it's your birthday?
Yeah, right.
It's your undead birthday. They find out that everybody dies today. It's your first day of being undead because we're going to have them all killed. So we're taking the tour to the side of the house, but there's where we had been digging our graves. And the graves are being dug there, and this is where the leaf people were going to come crawling out of the ground, a.k.a. or a la Thriller. You know, and they literally had, you know, just shirts stuffed with leaves, and we painted their faces green and, you know, and nails, and they would come crawling out of the ground. They're demon kids.
Right.
So your little demon kids are coming, crawling out to you. And we're on either side of her. Nice of her.
But we had, like, prosthetics there, too.
Right. Yeah, people's faces were...
Yeah. There were real live people, then there was ones like dummies that were stuffed.
The effect was that you have... And not only you're walking through the graveyard or, you know, the whole yard filled with leaves. The leaves start moving. People start coming off of it. But from the tree branches, and there's a lot of old trees and branches back there, we decide to hang some nooses from these tree branches that are hanging around. And some dummies we made, you know, we got jeans and we got shirts and we stuffed them with newspaper and leaves.
Yep.
And we put masks on them and hoodies and tied them so they looked like people, but then we put like evil looking masks on them. And sometimes we just didn't have masks. We just stuffed them full of leaves because sometimes it's like a hoodie filled with leaves is just as scary.
Right.
So... some of these dummies are hanging from one leg from a tree, and other dummies are hanging by their necks. But no more than three or four of these said mannequins are hanging from the branches as you're walking. So the idea is you're walking around the side of the house, and your focus is on these things that are in the tree.
Right.
You know, but then the people start crawling out on the ground.
Yeah. So,
and then on to your next scene. Right.
Yeah.
So the evil, unfortunately, was on that side of the house this evening. I guess if I were evil, with hindsight, that's where I'd go.
Right.
You know, easy.
I mean, it's the east side is always the best.
now with evil, now I can laugh about it 25, 30 years later, but at the time it wasn't funny because Lynn, who I always known to be this nice middle-aged woman with her...
Right, fat, a little fat.
Fat,
jolly, apple-faced,
jolly,
makes
singing,
apple pie.
Kismet.
Right.
In the theater, the nicest, cleanest voice, and I'd only seen her, you know... I was never invited to the adult table where she's doing tarot writing, but Lynn was the real psychic.
Sheila
was the vampire woman that was... Who played with tarot cards and had her crystals and would do readings for us.
Right, so what happened to Lynn?
Well, Lynn's telling us that the evil's on the other side, and she starts walking, and she puts her hands out, and she's sensing where the evil is, like this. Picture both your hands outstretched and your five fingers fanned, and she's walking around the side of the house with her hands in the air, and she walks, and she stops. It's horrible how the evil is right over here, and this is where they have to have it. Now, Sheila says, I have to get my tools, or whatever. She pulls out her bag of...
Her medallions.
Her medallions, and
Lynn starts with a Bible or a book, an exorcism thing, and is speaking in Latin of some kind. And what's really horrifying is as she, the exact sequence of events, because it was so horrifying, is hard to say, but the way I remember it is that these mannequins, well, there's three mannequins, none of which were moving except this one. And this one mannequin that was suspended from the tree is spinning rapidly around in a 360 pattern, like by itself.
Right.
Now, these are stuffed with leaves, and they're very, very heavy jeans and shirts, and not easily spun. If we could have spun them, we would have gotten...
It was like somebody went like this, like spun it around.
Right, but they were spinning by themselves. There's right. three that were not spinning, but this one that was. So why, if there were wind, why wouldn't all three of them be blowing? Just right. this one is... It, as we were walking towards the yard, you saw the mannequin, and with its arms out, spinning around. And I was like, ah! It's, look! Look! And then she gets her book out right. and starts the Latin exorcism thing and falls to her knees. Absolutely. And falls to her knees, and her eyes turn back.
Like in her head.
And her head, and white.
And her mouth goes open.
And her mouth goes open, right.
And what happens then?
I don't know if we even go into this, but she has this guttural, demon-like voice. Now, this lady has a high voice.
Yeah, right.
But
the color
this is no act that's going on. To see her fall to her knees and her eyes go back and have this guttural, demon-type voice come out of her mouth, and then Sheila was grabbing her head and that whole thing. I really was so terrified at that point that... I'm not sure exactly how I remember how they got out, but I had to pick her up. There were medallions right. going on, and there was no screaming. It was something straight out of a horror novel. I mean, it was extremely cold. I do remember that it was cold and windless. You know, normally it would be wind.
Right.
Cold and evil-like.
Yeah.
And the scariest thing that's ever happened to me and will ever happen to me is that night right there. So
what happened after she got up?
Well, she had to be picked up. She passed out.
Yeah.
She was literally on the ground.
Did you get rid of the
evil? I thought she had a heart attack. I think the evil was gone because, well, not maybe it was at my house now because I couldn't sleep for weeks. But Lynn had to be, we had to pick her up. I remember picking her up, and she says, "You can't tell anybody about what happened here." She didn't want anybody to know.
Okay, don't tell anybody.
Right. Well, we're not telling anybody now. But she didn't want anybody to know that she had these psychic abilities. Right. She was already...
Her daughter didn't know,
Her daughter didn't know that she had abilities like this. And she's... People who are real psychics don't, you know,
right.
charge for it and don't...
They don't advertise it.
Don't advertise it either. And that whole thing. And she would really appreciate it if I didn't tell. And... I hope that, you know, with hindsight, with it, now people listen. Now that I'm listening and telling myself the story, you think, did they play a trick on me to scare the devil, Jesus?
Why would you do that, though?
But no, they didn't because
right.
you can't fake the tears.
Right.
And you couldn't fake that, and she passed out, and it was really, everybody, there were many, like we said, there were 50 people around.
Right.
And no one told them they came over. But that was that part of, that's our Haunted Woods story.
That's the Haunted Woods.
That's the Haunted House story.
And Sean was scared shitless.
Yes. So, anticlimax.
Okay, Michelle Maniscalco is what?
A reincarnated Satan.
And is it true?
It's been validated. We had three people that have said, in fact, Michelle Maniscalco is the Antichrist and is still living amongst us.
Amongst us.
Oh, my God. It's left behind all over.
Listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.